Blog Talk Radio.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to say Happy New Year and welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Let us take a moment to acknowledge God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace and your goodness in our lives. Allow us to cross over to a new year, to draw closer to you, to develop in you, to walk in you, to spend time with you. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity. And as I go forward, Father God, let me, Father God, decrease as the individual, and let the Holy Spirit rise up and illuminate your word, Father God, in a mighty way. For those who are under the sound of my voice will receive something that will move them, Father God, in a mighty way to be closer to you, to want to know more about you, Father God, to spend that quality time with you. So we praise you and we honor you and we adore you, Father God, for this great golden opportunity to get to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go right into it. Today's quote is, every woman has inside of her a piece of good news. The good news is that you do not know how great you can be, how much you can love, and what you can accomplish, and what is your potential. Anne Frank. And one of the most courageous things you can do is identify yourself, know who you are, what you believe in, and where you want to go. Sheila Murray Bessel. And the scripture says in 3:4, do not be concerned about outward beauty or fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. And in Psalms 46:5, God is within her. She will not fail. So I'm reminded of a story, which is a little lengthy story, so it's going to take me a moment. But it's about purpose. The girl who asked why. Now, this story happened a long, long time ago. Well, girls were not taught to cook. They were taught to cook, to take care of their family, and to marry off. Learning and study was off-limit to girls. In those times, there lived a girl. She was a little different than most. She always had, I like to ask, a lot of questions. And when she was little, her mother wanted her to learn to cook. The girl asked the mother, why should I learn to cook? The mother said, so you can feed yourself when required. The girl said, fair enough, and learned to cook. After some time, her mother wanted her to teach her how to do household chores. The girl asked why. Mother said, so you can be self-dependent. The girl said, fair enough, and she learned the household chores. Then the parents said, one day, we're going to have to marry you off soon. The girl asked why. Because all girls get married at this age, said the parent. Everyone does? So should I? That's not a good enough reason. I'm not getting married. The girl's determination surprised the parent. Other parents could have forced the girl into marriage, but her parents didn't. So now the girl has more time on her hand, and for her father, who was a teacher, she joined her father's academy. Then she learned several hymns and their meaning. She asked her questions and learned even more. Soon she surpassed her father's knowledge. One day, an invitation arrived. It was from the king. The invitation was for the brightest scholars in the academy. As it happened, the king wanted to compile all the knowledge of the universe into books. To get input, he invited scholars and philosophers from all over the world. There was a discussion at the academy about who to send for this conference. After a lot of thought, they all agreed that the girl is the brightest scholar in the academy. So the girl was sent to the conference. When the girl arrived at the conference venue, she was taken back by the grandeur. She noticed a large number of men, but hardly any women among the delegates. She climbed to the dais to take her seat. Suddenly there was a huge uproar. People in the audience were starting staring at her. A woman who thinks she can sit on the scholar panel, the king? Preposterous, screamed someone. Look at her clothes, so provoking. I don't think she's a female good reputation, declared another. Stop her. It is a sin against God. Everybody looks at the king for a solution. The king pondered for a moment. Girl, there must be some misunderstanding. A woman can't sit on a scholar panel unless she is accompanied by a man. Pardon me, your grace, but I was invited to join the discussion, said the girl. I don't remember inviting you, said the king. You sent an invitation for the brightest scholar in my academy. I'm the brightest in my academy. And on the invitation, there was no mention about females not being able to be on the panel. The king chuckled a little and said, you made a good point. I have no objection, said the king. But I don't think women can join the discussion, murmured one woman in the audience. Why, asked the girl. You will feel uncomfortable around so many men, another woman responded. I have no problem. My focus is on my work, not men. You don't have to do this. You are not bad looking. You can marry some wealthy gentleman, advised one elderly. The girl ignored him. Let's have a discussion. If the scholar has objection, they can debate with her. If she wins, she can join the panel, said the king. Some will like the solution. They were sure that the girl would be humiliated by the scholars. The scholars on the dais discussed among themselves and selected an elderly scholar for their representative. So by joining the discussion, what would you want to prove? That women are better than men, asked the elderly scholar. No, sir. I don't want to prove anything. I'm here to join the discussion, to quench my thirst for knowledge like you all, said the girl fiercely. But greater knowledge is not for women, said the elderly scholar. I beg your pardon, sir, but why, asked the girl. Because female intellect is weaker than men, said the elderly scholar. Says who, sir? It is written in the hymns. May I ask who wrote the hymns, asked the girl. The hymns were written by our forefathers, said the elderly scholar. By forefather, you mean our male ancestor, asked the girl again. Yes, of course, by our male ancestor, said the elderly scholar. How did our forefathers know that women had weaker intellect? They noticed, said the elderly scholar, as he was a bit irritated. But how, my lord? Give me an example. How did they notice, asked the girl again. I don't remember, said the elderly scholar. Doesn't matter. Why don't any of you scholars ask me questions to prove my weaker intellect? Many scholars thought of asking her questions, but feared seeing her immense confidence. You ask too many questions, girl, shouted the elderly scholar. He was furious. The atmosphere was tense. Sir, answer her. Why is a female intellect weaker than a male, said the king. I need to study, your grace, to come up with an example, said the elderly scholar. Then I can't stop her from joining the scholar panel. She has come here on her own merit, and I will allow her to sit on the panel until you come up with a convincing example, said the king. People were still doubtful about the girl's worthiness, but as the discussion progressed, all doubt vanished. Days passed. The girl took part in several discussions, asking many questions and answering many others. Other scholars were astonished by her brilliance. And when the final drafts of the books were compiled, many hymns were composed by the girl were included. Nobody knew for sure what happened to the girl thereafter. Some say she constructed a book of her own hymns. Some say she opened an academy for girls. Different people, different stories, but everybody agreed that the girl, who asked why, became the first female scholar. The moral story is, one must know their purpose to fulfill their destiny. So our show a previous time was discussing developing oneself to be what we seek in someone else. We're now on the woman's journey. I'll recap briefly. I suggest that women today should strive to become the best that God intended them for them to be. And not just to please the world's point of view, but to fulfill God's destiny for their journey. I suggested that one of the key foundational components of this series is that the Holy Spirit would illuminate that women understand that it is important to do what God calls you to do because everything you need, God is giving you with inside you. And as we pointed out, we're like what Michelle Obama's got, becoming Michelle Obama. This was a development process in order that you could become who you were intended to be. Then I spoke about three characters in previous stories, the evil queen from Snow White, Abel and Cain, and the serpent with Satan. And with each of them, each one of these individuals lack a key element that will allow them to become the best they could be. Because we know that in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And even though this was a mixture of men and women, and this happens to all of us, it is said that Jesus still says that, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But what was that key component? It was about self-esteem. And then I mentioned a doctor who had wrote her dissertation on the beauty industry and its influence on women in our society. And she pointed out that there had been a significant amount of research done on the effects that advertising and fashion the beauty industry has on women. And by creating advertising with an unrealistic image of beauty, resulting in anxiety for women, low self-esteem, low self-confidence. And most of these negative emotions relate to the cosmetics and how they think they can influence women to be the best they can be from an outward appearance. And unfortunately for women having these experiences of disapproval, it does not line up with God's word. Because see, God is not a respecter of person. For God said in Psalms 139:14, he said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelously are the works that you, my soul knows well. We're supposed to know better because, again, when God blew the breath of life into us and he said that we would create them in his image, God didn't come here broken. God gave us something that was unbroken. God gave us his image. And thus, by God's design, we should not lack self-esteem. However, Satan does a fine job in deceiving all of us, causing us not to see that we were esteemed in God's eyes. So much that he sent his only begotten son for us to have eternal life with him. And this is out of Romans 3:6. Then I mentioned Nathan Brandon, who's an expert in self-esteem. He talked about what self-esteem was. He said self-esteem is the experience of self that involves emotion, evaluative, and cognitive components, which moves us towards life rather than away from it. It is the disposition to experience oneself as being competent to cope with basic challenges of life and being worthy of happiness. It is the confidence in one's ability to learn, make appropriate decisions, and respond effectively to change. Many of us don't like changes. Many of us struggle in making decisions. We're double-minded. And God said he doesn't like double-mindedness. You can't expect anything from him. See, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind to make decisions, with the foundation being love. And in John 4:16, it says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And as long as we seek first God's way, his truth, his way of life, we can develop to be who God intended for us to be, especially God's chosen women. So, however, let me take a moment to lay another component needed to become the best you can be as a woman, and being that which you seek in someone else, you will first make sure you have within yourself, and that is purpose. In a previous session, I spoke about three things we must consider in our journey in life, and that is knowing thyself, developing thyself, and loving thyself. In doing so, we can come to understand, as we gather the knowledge and wisdom, understanding of God's word, and the ability that God gave us to discern this, we can better develop ourselves. And as we develop ourselves, we can learn to love ourselves more. And as we continue to move forward in that, we begin to know ourselves more. So we're not moved and we're not tossed to and fro by every wave to come our way, such as the beauty industry, what they promote in advertising, what people say about you if you're a kid in class, or they say things to you on the internet. Because as you begin to develop yourself in God's word and he shows you that you are esteemed, you begin to love yourself a little more. See, another part is that we have to learn to build the spirit of who we are. So again, because he did not give us the spirit of fear. But most of these things that we see on the external side of the house usually is about fear. It's keeping us in Satan's realm. But we have a higher realm. We have a heavenly God. We have God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is about royalty. It's about his rule. It's about his authority. It's his sovereignty. These are the things we need to look at. In God's kingdom, there's peace and happiness. So we don't have to lower ourselves to the illusion that society creates for us and not be able to find ourselves worthy, which causes us not to really understand who we are because it keeps us divided. God wants us on solid ground. So, however, it brings to mind the question, what wakes you up in the morning? Do you have a purpose? What drives you? Do you know yourself and develop thyself in a way that's always moving towards your purpose? How do you go about building your self-esteem, which will strengthen you in every area? But if you don't have a purpose, it's very difficult. Is your purpose, the purpose waking you up in the morning is to please your family, your friends, your boss, your husband, your wife? Are you a people pleaser? And we know that there'll be times when people don't receive you. Jesus said that if you go into the town and it don't receive you, dust your feet off and go to the next. Jesus himself wasn't accepted. Jesus healed 10 and only one came back. That meant the other 9, the majority went on. But Jesus knew who he was, and he valued those who understood what his purpose was about. And then it says that, again, in many of the women today, they walk through their whole life trying to be people pleasers and fulfilling other people's purpose. This was from the story of the young girl who asked why. See, she knew her purpose. She might not have been mature in the interim of age like the scholars might have been, but she had an innate belief in herself and her purpose. That's why she asked the question why. What is your why? Why do you do what you do? I soon will be 62 years old, and I've asked that question many times. Why am I doing what I do? And in many cases, it was because I was a people pleaser. And we know the fickleness of us as human beings. We're never satisfied. But when you grow to develop in God's word and know who God is and you understand his purpose for your life, you begin to get a different kind of joy, a different type of serenity, if you will, a different level of peace, a peace that passes all human understanding when you start to move in his purpose. And according to Richard Leader, his book, The Power of Purpose, Finding Meaning, Live Longer and Better, he suggests that purpose is the essence of who we are and what makes us unique. Purpose is an active expression of the deepest dimension within us, where we have a profound sense of who we are and why we are here. Why we are here. We wouldn't have had to. Every human being on this planet has a purpose. My daughter, who cannot walk, cannot talk like us, who's fed through a feeding tube, lives basically in the bed or wheelchair, has a purpose. She has a purpose. She brings joy to anyone that comes in her path. She helps you to understand the simple things in life. She teaches you how to appreciate that little thing, because it's the little things that makes the big things important. She has purpose. She brings a joy that would light up the world. So all of us have purpose. He also said the purpose is the goal around which we structure our lives, source of direction and energy. Through the lens of purpose, we're able to see our future ourselves more clearly. Well, we know we're predestined. God says in his word in Ephesians that he had predestined us. Also, we know that God has a purpose for us, because in Jeremiah 29, he said He says that he wants us to, he has a plan for our life. And that plan is for us to be able to prosper and that no harm shall come to us. And then Rick Warren, he points out, he says, when we begin to know our purpose, it creates meaning in our lives. When we begin to know our purpose, it simplifies our lives. When we know our purpose, we develop a better focus on how to use the energy in a positive way. We're not wasting time. Zig Ziglar said that either we're going to be meaningful specifics or wonder generality. People wander like tumbleweeds in the desert when the wind is blowing, gathering up things that has no purpose. no relevance to your purpose that God has put within you. But like that little girl who knew to ask the question why, she didn't move frivolously. As a matter of fact, she moved with such purpose that she became a scholar. And she became a scholar in early years to go up against those who have been doing this for years. And then Rick Warren Punch points out in his book, Purpose Driven Life, what on earth am I here for? He points out five key areas. He said, you were formed for God's pleasure. You were formed for God's family. You were created to become like Christ, image bearer. And you were shaped for serving God. And you were made for a mission. I know a lot about missions. I spent 37 years in the military fulfilling missions. And when we wake up in the morning, it was all about the mission. Everything else was the key components to add to completing the mission. Every mission had to be fulfilled. And once we fulfilled it, we looked at what went well, what went wrong, what we should sustain, and how we keep moving forward to the next mission. We had a purpose-driven life. But let me point out a few women who had purpose in the Bible. The women of purpose. Deborah in Judges 4:14, it says that Deborah played a unique role in the Israel history. She served as one of the only female judge in a lawless period before the country got its first king. In this male-dominant culture, she enlisted the help of many mighty warriors named Barak to defeat the oppressive general Sisera. Deborah's wisdom and faith in God inspired people. She inspired people. And someone was defeated and roundly killed by another woman. And eventually, Sisera's king was destroyed as well. Thanks to Deborah's leadership. See, women can be leaders too. But thanks to Deborah's leadership, Israel enjoyed peace for 40 years. 40 years. Remember that the Israelites wandered for 40 years. She had the Israel be able to enjoy peace for 40 years. Then there was Sarah, who received extraordinary honor from God. This is out of Genesis 17:16. As the wife of Abraham, offspring became the nation of Israel, which produced Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. At the age of 90, she gave birth to Isaac. Through a miracle of God, Sarah loved and nurtured Isaac, helped him become a great leader. And from Sarah, we learned that God's promises always come true. His timing is always best. You know, I'm sure many of us have heard the saying, God don't come when you want to, but he's always on time because it's always about his time, not our time. But we've been conditioned through the world to be about ourselves. It's always about us. But back to Rick Warren, in his books, he's talking about it ain't about us. Jesus showed this as well. But then there was another in Exodus 2:1-10, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, influenced history by surrendering what she treasured the most to the will of God, what she treasured the most. When the Egyptians began killing the male babies of the Hebrew slave, Jochebed put a baby Moses in a waterproof basket and sent him adrift on the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter, another woman's purpose, found and adopted him and made her own son. But God arranged so Jochebed could be the baby's wet nurse. And even though Moses was raised an Egyptian, God chose him to lead his people to freedom. The faith of Jochebed saved Moses to become Israel's greatest prophet and lawgiver. Again, someone who fulfilled their purpose. They knew what it was about. They weren't moved by the external factors. She wasn't moved by, oh, my God, the king is killing the kids. I better give in because he's going to kill me. It wasn't about her. It was about fulfilling the purpose so that Moses could fulfill his purpose. See, we're all connected. And then Jesus knew his purpose. At a young age, Jesus knew his purpose. And it was stated when he was at the temple, when his parents went to the temple, he was 13 or so, they left. And then they realized, oh, my God, my son is not around. What's going on? So they went back. And when they went back, it says in Luke 2:49, they were looking for him. He said, why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what it is he was saying to them. He was fulfilling his purpose. And then in Matthew 26:36-38, he's saying to Peter, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, fulfilling his purpose. And in Romans 8:28, we know that all things God worked for with those who love him, for those who have called according to his purpose. And in Ephesians 1:11, all things are done according to the plan of decision, to God's plan of decision. And God chose us to be his people in union with Christ because of his own purpose based on what he had decided from the very beginning. And in Peter, 1 Peter 1:2, it says that you were chosen according to the purpose of God the Father and were made holy, a holy people by his Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be purified by his blood. My grace and peace be with yours in full measure. So again, knowing the purpose that you have with God helps you to begin to really develop in who you need to be as an individual while you walk this journey. So saying that, thus it's important that we seek God's purpose, for as you begin to know thyself, develop thyself, you grow to love yourself in such a way that your self-esteem can't help but increase. You begin to develop a passion for your purpose, which increases you to seek everyone and anyone that can help you fulfill that. You begin to truly move to become the image bearer of God. See, we have been deceived, bamboozled by the illusion of the world. And again, he said, we're in the world, but not of the world. That means as we begin to grow in Christ, we're not sinless people. And no sin is measured to be one greater than the lesser. Because when he asked them that any of you be without sin, you cast the first stone. He didn't address a specific sin. He said any sin. But with that being said, we still have purpose. Despite of ourselves, God still has a purpose for us. Because if we look at all the people that we just discussed, each one of them as we look more in depth, they fell short. Surely Sarah went on to have Hagar have a child first because she miscalculated. She thought it was going to help God move it along, fulfill the purpose quicker. But see, in God's timing, in God's measure, in God's eyes, we begin to understand that if we let patience have a perfect work, God can fulfill his purpose of us. It is never too late. So how do we begin? Next week, we're going to go into more depth. But I'm going to give you an acronym that's going to help you to be able to understand your journey. See, I as an individual is kind of an ever-ready battery. I just go, 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 go. I do a lot of things. I multitask. I'm always assigned to do something. I just don't turn off. I start my day very early. I end it very late. But with that, I always try to move with a purpose. Sometimes I get off my path. So in one of my prayers, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, David, it's time for you to pace yourself. I said, pace myself. Say, your journey needs to be a race, because the race ain't given to the swift or the strong, but them that endure to the end. You want to pace yourself so you don't burn out. And this is what pace means. Peace stands for preparation. We must prepare ourselves, study to show thyself approved, to rightly divide the word of truth. We must study God's word. As we study God's word, we begin to become stronger in his word. As we become stronger in his word, we begin to get a different attitude. That is what the A stands for, attitude. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we had to get out of sync for even discuss that. We need to renew our mind, which means that we had the mind of the world. But as we being transformed is a process. And as we transform and our mind is being renewed, being flushed out with all the old and bringing the new, we become new creation. We begin to truly begin to be image bearers of Christ. How do we come about that? The C stands for commitment. We must commit. We must commit ourselves unto God. And this is work, because Satan is always busy trying to do his job to make us people who don't commit. But once you commit to something, and I'm sure everybody in the sound of my voice has committed to something. For example, when people go to get married, they commit to this process of getting married, and they prepare. They prepare themselves to be able to get the wedding done and what have you. So when you commit to yourself, you get the end result. You now become the bride to the groom. And then we have to go in with the E, which is expectation. We have a right to expect from God. He say that you can't come to him unless you have faith. So we have to exercise that faith. And that's the extra E that he added. You have to exercise or execute that which you have begun for God's plan for you. So again, I like to say Happy New Year. I want to point out, to remind you, always go to a Kingdom Builders Development, Kingdom Builders Services Plaza at gmail.com, and let us take a moment for to pray out. For any of you who have not received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to take the time to look at Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and by and because of that, you now can have a new home. You just have to believe. This is a gift. You don't have to earn it. You're never going to be able to measure up what is required to earn it. It is a gift. And once you receive this gift, you'll get the passion and the excitement, and you'll be thrilled within yourself. That doesn't mean you're going to be exempt from trials and tribulations, clouds to come your way, but you will be blessed. Again, Happy New Year. We will expand more on the, in detail about some of the steps we can take. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.